Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-host, and with me today is Yanis Janais and Max Cohen. In this episode, we'll be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham in the FA Cup against Southampton at Craven Cottage on Saturday. On top of that, we have some interesting topics to discuss in the Cottage Talk roundtable to start the show. But before I do anything else, I always have to welcome my Cottage Talk co-host back to the show. First, Mr. Janais, how you doing?
I'm fantastic, and I'm very bloody cold.
It's very cold, Yanis. You told me off air that it's very cold where you are.
I'll tell you what, it is so cold that it's just bloody ridiculous here. It's funny, you've got to pick your poison, because I know you've got a Snowmageddon event down there. We've got snow coming in Sunday night, so you pick your poison. Would you rather have the snow, or would you rather have the cold? But it's rotten out there. It's really cold. It's like Siberia.
I mentioned to you off air, snow 100% of the time, 10 out of 10, every single time, because the cold I could deal without. It's the snow. If I had to choose, it would definitely be snow. Yanis, are you in agreement with that?
Yeah, the only problem is that I don't care where you go around the world, people don't know how to drive in the snow. But I'll tell you what, I will reveal to everybody who's listening that I am a tight bastard, because I've been living in Canada for 26 years and I've never bought snow tires. And I never will. I just think that the heavier the car, and I've got a Kia Monte, so it's a big bugger. Yep. The heavier the car, the more weight you got on the road. And all these people that go out and spend hundreds of dollars in their little snow tires, I have a good laugh. Especially when they end up in ditches.
I was just about to say, I don't have snow tires either, so I'm there with you. I've never bought snow tires, so that makes two of us. Very interesting way to start this show. All right, over to Max. Max, how are you doing? You got back from London. You were hoping to join us on the last show last Friday, but you weren't able to because you were coming back home. How you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Russ. Unfortunately, I missed the last preview show at Heathrow Airport on the way back, but had a superb time in London, and of course, had my first trip to Wales on Boxing Day. And I have to say,
Max, share with us a little bit about your trip there, real quick.
Yeah, of course. You can read my recap on the Cottagers Confidential website. And what I said about it was, I think without a doubt, was right up there in the top full of matches I've ever seen live. It has everything you ever want in a perfect away day, a festive fixture, most importantly, the 3 points. It's just one of the most exciting matches you'll ever see. It was end-to-end stuff for a lot of the match. And the best part was Fulham played their best performance of the season, in my opinion. At Cardiff, you saw Sessegnon turn in just another superb performance, best 17-year-old in Europe, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. You really saw, and the most impressive part for me was, we scored 4 goals against, at that time, the second best defense in the league. We beat Cardiff for the first time at home since April. And, you know, just being in that away end with the jubilatory chants at the end, we got into a bit of banter with the Welsh fans. Fulham fans saying, "You're not going to Russia." Of course, I felt a bit victimized as an American. We're not going either. The funniest part was an Icelandic supporter of Cardiff was right at the other end of the stands, right near the away section in the home end, and he started waving an Icelandic flag in response to that. And then we gave him a bunch of stick with another chant aimed back at that fan. And it just showed, going to an away match and just the banter, the feeling of being amongst the Fulham fans, it's invaluable for me, and I just had a brilliant time.
That's great. Max, I'm glad you had such a great time, and it was such a great victory. And it's funny, we were talking about moments of the season, and nothing against the Cardiff City match. I actually said my moment of the season so far were the two Ipswich Town matches, but I could have very easily have said the match against Cardiff City that you went to, which was great. All right, guys, let's get into the show. We will be previewing the upcoming FA Cup match against Southampton in a little bit. But before we do that, we have a couple topics to discuss. I should say three in the Cottage Talk roundtable. There has been some speculation, Yanis. I talked about this with Mike briefly regarding Ryan Fredericks. It's a very interesting situation because Ryan Fredericks is out of contract at the end of the season. And apparently the reports are that Stoke City are interested in Ryan Fredericks. I kind of understand that because of his contract situation. What are your thoughts about this whole thing with Ryan Fredericks? I know it's speculation, but it's a very interesting situation. Fulham could potentially be in with him?
I think a lot's going to depend on the price that we might get from him. I think he's very secretly had a solid season. Mark Hughes, our favourite Bell End, is having a tough time at the Britannia. And he gave, I thought, a very arrogant interview last game when he said, well, no one else is going to manage to play this team. Well, there you go. I think that he's under pressure to bring signings in. The problem that I think Fredericks would suit their system if he played to the skill level of the players he has, but he doesn't. He does have some very skillful players, but they've not really adopted a system in the last couple of years to promote more passing soccer. And losing Arnautovic was obviously a big loss for them. I think here, where there's smoke, there might be fire. I wouldn't be surprised if they put a bid in for Fredericks and that he might believe, but he's going to have to be careful because, as Scott Malone has found up at Leeds Road, you know, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Right. But he's had a quietly good season. If it gives him the opportunity to play in the Premier League, you know what, I won't hold it against him. The only thing, of course, the flip side is going to have to be that we're going to have to find a replacement unless Slava, assuming he's still in his role, decides to use, you've got Suarez there. You've got Michael Maddle, who was spotted last night in Thailand. I don't know what he was doing there, kicking a ball against the fence, looking rather bedraggled because we've not seen him for so long. Or we'd have to sign another player.
Very interesting. Or you could play Dennis Odoi there at right back. You could definitely move him.
We could, but then the only problem is going to be now. Well, then, of course, then you've got the Cesc thing. Does Cesc play up front? Does Cesc play left back? Yeah.
It's an interesting situation, Giannis, because I don't think Fulham should sell him. But Mike and I were talking about this last night. It's a decision neither one of us would want to make. I wouldn't want to be the one to decide this because it's a difficult one. If the money's right, what do you do? But then you have to find a replacement. He's playing well. Like you said, not many people are talking about how well he's playing. He's playing well. So do you want to do that? Do you want to risk trying to find someone else to do what he's already been doing? It's a hard one. So that's why I thought it'd be a good topic for us to start the show with. Max, what are your thoughts about all this?
Yeah, I think I agree with you guys in that it really, really, really would be a mistake to sell Fredericks in the January transfer window, especially considering how weak our back line is in terms of our options on the bench. I think in many matches...
We already need fullbacks, Max.
Yeah, and in recent weeks, really the only defensive options we've had on the bench have been Jallo and Odoi in some respects, but we really do not have much defensive cover at all. So to sell one of our... I mean, he started, I'm fairly certain, every league match this season. To sell possibly our best fullback would be a big mistake. Now... It is similar to the Malone situation, as you guys mentioned, because he's stepping up to the Premier League. And I think Fredericks definitely has the quality to play in the Premier League at some point in his career. He was on the books at Spurs as a youngster and was pretty highly rated for them before he moved to the Championship. So I think he definitely has the quality. But whether this move would be right for him going into a team in a relegation dogfight who've had problems conceding goals, I mean, conceding the most goals in the Premier League, I don't think anyone would really describe Fredericks as a defense-first fullback. Sure. He possesses amazing pace and is very dangerous on the attack, but no one really is going to lout him for his defensive abilities. And I think Stoke are definitely going to try to shore up their back line to create more clean sheets. So I don't really think it's necessarily the best fit for Fredericks in this moment. And really, I think he should stay at Fulham. And Fulham, they said before that they don't intend to sell any of their players in the transfer window, which I think is a very good policy from the club. And I still believe he'll stay at Craven Cottage come February 1st.
Right. And I'm glad that you mentioned that, Max, because I shared that with Mike Gregg last night when we were doing his Q&A, that there was a tweet from Ryan O'Donovan from Get West London where he has a source that has told him that Fulham have no plans to sell any of their players. I'm paraphrasing exactly what the tweet was, but that's basically the gist of it. And that, to me, is the big news to come out of all of this mess with Slavisa. Was that, Max? That was the good news. I should say the good news to come out of it is that news that he was able to uncover that Fulham have no plans of selling any of their players. And listen, there are some big names that we could think of. my first thought was, that's really good news, Max.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the best news that came out of that press conference was that Solis doesn't intend to sell. And I think the most speculation is going to be around Sessegnon, with some new reports today that Paris Saint-Germain, of all places, are interested in him. So if we don't sell anybody, I think everyone will agree that's a big win. It's just, you know, where we need to strengthen, that's going to cause the most controversy.
Listen, it's a tough situation with Sessegnon, and I want to go back over to you, Yanis. We've talked about Sessegnon several times. It really is something to see all these teams linked to him. We're talking all these huge names linked to him. That is such a credit to him. But also, when Fulham do sell him, and they will sell him at some point, the money just keeps going up and up for me every single time we see him linked to a club like PSG. I think the bar keeps going higher and higher. I'm talking about how much money I think Fulham can get for Ryan Sessegnon eventually. I still hold on to him. But all of these links people are concerned about, I actually see this as a good sign in the future, because someday we're going to get a lot of money for this kid. Not that I want them to. Obviously, I'd rather him spend his entire career at Fulham, but I'm realistic here. But when people start to see the speculation with all these teams, instead of being concerned about it, you should be thinking, wow, this is actually going to pay off down the road for Fulham, because at some point, some big club is going to pay an extreme amount of money for him. That's the way I'm looking at it, Yanis. I want to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and if you can get a big, if you can get a good price plus an add-on, so that if he's sold on down the line, and a lot of clubs actually benefit from that, then we'd
listen.
Be really
it's a business in the end, Yanis. It's a business.
It is a business. I've said for several weeks now, I don't think we should accept anything less than 40 million. And I stand by that. Although, if you've got clubs like PSG coming in, who like to throw silly money. I mean, the Virgil van Dijk signing Liverpool from Southampton has really sort of opened it up now, because there's all sorts of crazy nonsense going on now. It's funny, we can talk about Fredericks, you know, a rumoured bid of 3 million for Fredericks, and then you can look at, you know, 75 million for Virgil van Dijk. You know, I don't care if he's Virgil van Jesus. I mean, he's not worth that money. I think the money, you know, I think, I mean, it's classic economic supply and demand, right? The more teams are going to go in, the more they're going to bid. It's going to raise the price. You've got the demand is going to go up. The supply is always going to stay the same. And then when you create a shortage, price will always elevate. And I think, you know, 40 million was my top end. It might even go above that because of the potential of this kid. I think what may really be interesting is, I don't think anything's going to happen yet, if it happens, for this window. But if he keeps scoring goals, in the next 3 weeks, the price is going to keep going up, and somebody's going to nibble and go, okay, name your price.
So what's interesting, Yanis, is that he's already matched how many goals he scored last season, and we're only a little beyond halfway through this season. That just tells you the potential. He scored 7 last season. He scored 7 now. So if he continues to score goals, it's going to get better and better. And listen, let me just stress this. I want Ryan Sessegnon to stay at Fulham Football Club as long as possible. But at some point, the economics are going to get in the way, and they're going to have to make a decision on him. So my point in all of this, Yanis, is to try to keep hold to him as long as possible and just let him keep playing, because the better he plays, the amount that number keeps going up. It's not going to go down. It really isn't going to go down for a long time. It's probably only going to rise. So if you can hold on to him and really hold on to him, say even beyond next summer, which I think is going to be difficult, but if you did that, the number just continues to get larger there, Yanis. So I see all the speculation, and everyone, you know, can think what they want. People can be worried about it. I don't look at it that way. I look at the big picture and think, at some point, Fulham are going to get a lot of money for Ryan Sessegnon, and he's going to play well for Fulham before that point, and he's going to help Fulham way after he leaves for the amount of money that they will get for him. So it's going to work out for him, and it's going to work out for the club. But again, I wouldn't be worried about all these rumors with all these big teams. I would be inviting them, because the price is just going to keep rising. Max, over to you. Do you agree with me on this?
Yeah, but I think we're getting a bit too ahead of ourselves in this. I think the most important thing for a player like Ryan Sessegnon we just have to take a step back and remember he's only 17 years old.
Right.
He's so young. This is not what he's doing at his age, at this level, is unprecedented. We haven't seen anything like this. I mean, Dele Alli is the only comparison I can think of when he was scoring hat tricks at that age. But Sessegnon's a completely different type of player than him. And Dele Alli, I think, only went for £5 or £10 million, and Sessegnon can go for probably five times that, in my opinion.
Right.
But at this age in his development, he's 17. The most important ages in a player's development are from 17 to 21, in my opinion. This is when they're going through the most physical changes. This is when they can truly blossom. He needs to be playing matches week in, week out. And I think that's why he's doing so well at Craven College right now, is because he's starting. He's going to be, I think, in my opinion, he's one of the first names on the team sheet. If he makes that move to a Paris Saint-Germain, to a United, to a Spurs, he's going to be on the bench. He's going to be loaned out to an unsettled starting 11, which he doesn't know he's going to play. He has to stay at Fulham. And if he stays at Fulham for, I think, it has to be there another 2 or 3 years. I know there are going to be bids coming in for him, but I just think it's necessary for his development to stay at a side that values him. And I've said this for players for probably 5 years, whenever a Fulham player is in link with a big club. I said it for Dempsey. I said it for Roberts. I said it for Dembele. I said it for Heinemann. And I think in all those cases, the player's career has gone down after they left Fulham. Because what they realized is, once you go to a supposed bigger club, you're suddenly not all that. You're suddenly not the star of the show. You're suddenly fighting for your place. The manager doesn't rate you as much. And you don't blossom. And you don't do what you thought you could do when you left Fulham. So what I say to Sessegnon is, I know the money's going to be coming in. And I get it. A team's offering £50 million for him, it's going to be very hard to say no.
Right.
What I'd like to see is, if we do accept a bid for him, we get a clause that says he's loaned back to Fulham for 2 years or something like that, which guarantees he's going to get sufficient playing time and we still get the monetary benefit that I think he's going to pull in.
Okay, interesting. Max, and listen, I don't disagree with wanting him to stay at Fulham as long as possible for his development. I totally agree with everything that you said there. I just don't know if they're going to be able to hold off the teams that are coming in after them and the temptation, because it's going to just continue to get greater and greater. But I hear what you're saying for his development.
What do you think about the clause? I remember 2 years ago with Dembele with Tottenham, they offered to loan him back to us, and we rejected that outright. Would you be willing to take a deal from, let's say, United or PSG, saying we'll buy him for $50 million now, but we'll loan him back to you for a year and a half or two seasons? What would you guys think of that sort of proposal?
I'll get that from Giannis in just 1 second. It's a very good situation to talk about, Max. And you were talking about Dembele. If I remember correctly, Tottenham reneged on the loan back, and that was the reason why that situation stopped. But I want to go to you, Giannis. Max brings up a very interesting point. If for some reason you got a huge bid but with a loan back, would you take it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would. I think I would, because, I mean, then he continues to develop at this club. He continues to help our team, and then we know that we get the money for him, and he'll still be happy here, and he can, you know, grow within his body, develop mentally as a player. I think that's a great idea. You know, earlier, Max, you were saying about the player that he reminds me of, and I'm thinking Gareth Bale.
I totally agree.
Yeah, and that's scary. Although Gareth Bale, unfortunately, has had a tough last couple of years with injuries, but he was a super player at Southampton. Went to Tottenham. We know what happened there. He's brilliant. And he's had a lot of success at Real Madrid despite the injuries. But I think that with the money market being as silly as it is, and hey, today, I mean, fresh off the wire, Ross Barkley signed for Chelsea today for $15 million cut price. You know, I mean, a kid who's only 25 years of age. So sometimes it works in reverse.
It does.
I mean, that's an absolute ridiculous steal if he stays fit and can regain his confidence. But the silly money that's being offered, and with PSG, I mean, their bank account is endless.
Yeah, they can pretty much pay. Really want a player, they can really go after it when they have the money to back them. But my whole thing on the loan, you know, I'm not against a loan if that was really the only way to keep him here and then you get a good amount of money. I would prefer getting through the January transfer window without the loan situation, Giannis, try to see if he could just hold everyone off then, and then maybe next summer, if there could be a loan back, that's what I would prefer, but sometimes you don't get what you want. But it's just interesting to get your view on a loan in general. I'm not against it. I would definitely not prefer it being in January just for like another few months. I would want it for another season of football starting in the summertime. But it's an interesting situation with Ryan Sessegnon, which we'll have to continue to watch. And I'm glad that we had a little discussion about that that went along with our Fredericks talk. All right, guys. Let's talk about the FA Cup. I thought it'd be a fun way to do this before we actually talk about Southampton is to talk about our time watching Fulham in the FA Cup. So, Giannis, I'm going to start with you. What is your favorite FA Cup match for Fulham?
I was at the final in 75 with my dad, so I still remember it. That whole run in 75, Carlisle United, Birmingham City, Everton, was just memorable. It was just such an incredible year, and for us to get to the final was an amazing achievement. Unfortunately, we came up against a West Ham side that were just, you know, Alan Taylor had one of those days, Peter Mellor. I bumped into Peter Mellor a number of years back at a soccer tournament in Baltimore, and he was at the North American annual coaches conference, and I got on the elevator and he was there. I recognized him immediately, and we both got off the elevator together and had a chat about that, and he said he still doesn't know what happened that day. But I think that final is my favorite one, because even though we lost and I was nine, I just remember just going to Wembley and playing the mighty West Ham, and they were a fantastic team.
Yeah.
And even though we lost, that was a wonderful memory, because that's the only FA Cup final we've ever been to, and it may be the only FA Cup final we go to in my lifetime. So we cherish what little ones we have, memories of that. That's the one that stands out for me.
I'm glad that you brought that up, Giannis. You know, and again, it's a different sport, but I remember fondly the 75 Red Sox and
yeah,
lost in the game of the World Series. So I understand what you're talking about. At that point, you're young and you're thinking it's probably not going to happen again. And it's something that always I look back at, even though they lost that series. And of course, the Red Sox have won since then. But back then, that's a game that I cherish a great deal. And getting to a final is a big deal. We talk about the Europa League final. That's a big deal. And getting to an FA Cup final, I'm glad that you mentioned that as being your favorite match. I totally understand that. And I'm glad that you shared that with us. Max, over to you. Your thoughts on the FA Cup. What is your favorite?
Yeah, so for me, it's not quite as memorable as the 75 final. That must have been amazing to witness, Giannis. But for me, it's a bit more recent. Probably would be the 2011 4-0 win over Spurs at the Cottage. That was really one of my first introductions to the FA Cup, and that was just a great match in which Danny Murphy, Moussa Dembélé, just played superbly for Fulham, yeah. And we beat a Spurs side that was just loaded with superb Premier League talent that year. And that was, to beat them 4-0, it was just a great feeling. And that's when you realize the magic of the cup. Because although we were in the Premier League then, still to beat Spurs 4-0, that was something special.
I was going to mention that myself. That, to me, stands out. And again, you and I obviously don't go back as far as Giannis does, but it's a memorable match. So I'm glad that you and I share that, Max. All right. Giannis, right back over to you. Let's look on the flip side of this. You ready?
Yes.
What is your worst FA Cup match for Fulham?
I flew back for a game. I think we lost to Hayes in the third round. I've got my memory. It's going to fail me on this one.
Okay.
We lost on non-league. I think it was Hayes. Non-league. There's that, and then there's a game, I think it was 2007, I flew back with my wife, and we watched us against Bristol Rovers at the Cottage, and I think we drew 1-1 with them. Danny Murphy, I seem to remember, got an equaliser there, and then we lost in the replay there. That was the Laurie Sanchez day, the 2007. Those are the first. I mean, you always dread when you look at a non-league opposition and you go, oh yeah, this should be fun. We should be able to knock them over. But in the 1970s, there was some giant killing going on. I'm thinking of Leatherhead for one. When Hereford United knocked off Newcastle United, that famous FA Cup, I think it was third round in 1971, when there was a pitch invasion. The FA Cup creates many memories, but for many clubs, you're always going to get turned over at least once by a, you know, either a lower league or a non-league team. The Hayes was a disaster because that was a home game, and the Bristol Rovers won. We were terrible. That it looked like we looked like a really dysfunctional team, and Sanchez didn't seem to have any direction. There was no direction and no system, and we were lucky to get away with a draw because Bristol Rovers were actually very good that day, and they were, I think they were a League Two team at that point. So that was a bit of a flying 3,500 miles with my wife, and watching that dribble wasn't. It wasn't a memory that necessarily I want to live with me forever, but unfortunately, I think it will.
Okay. Sorry to bring that back up there. But that's what we do here. We give the good and the bad, and that unfortunately was the bad. All right, Max, which match stands out to you as the worst one you have seen or maybe not been to or that has been during your lifetime as being a Fulham supporter in the FA Cup?
So
which is the worst one?
I haven't really had any I've been pretty lucky. I haven't seen any terrible FA Cup performances, but the one that springs to mind that reminds me of Giannis's description of just a team lacking direction and a manager lacking ideas was probably the low point of the Rennie Meulensteen era when I think we lost at home to Sheffield United. In the replay.
Yeah.
In extra time. That was probably the lowest point we reached. One of many low points in that 2013-14 season. That was one of the big ones. The enduring memory for me was seeing Rodriguez subbed off in tears.
I remember that was so
shocking. That really encapsulated how every Fulham fan felt, I think, about that match and about that season, really.
Okay. And Max, it's funny, we're talking about this, and I'm actually pulling up an article from that match because that was the match that stood out for me negatively. And but what's great here is that we have this looking at Fulham matches closer to us, and then, of course, we've got Giannis, who really has the history behind him, and we have looking at the FA Cup. Giannis, just in general, before we get into talking about Southampton, how do you feel about the FA Cup? You grew up with it. This is part of what football was about for you, I'm assuming. So just talk about it in general terms, your feelings on the FA Cup. Then we'll preview this upcoming match.
Well, the FA Cup's always fascinating me because it goes so many rounds before even the first round proper, because you've got so many non-league teams at the start. And growing up, it was such a romantic competition because there was so much excitement for you around, you know, even the first round draw, let alone the third round draw with the top two divisions come in. It's lost a lot of its allure, unfortunately. You know, for me, the best bit of the FA Cup is the non-league teams and the lower division teams having a crack at the top division teams. But in many ways, it's come a little bit like that, you know, the league cup or the caribou cup or the moose cup or whatever the bloody hell you want to call it, because teams put out under strength lineup, and if you look at, I'm thinking of the great FA Cup finals I've watched, and there've been some absolute incredible games. But now part of the problem, I think it started many years ago, but when UEFA scrapped the Cup Winners' Cup, so that if you won the FA Cup, you went into Europe automatically. They got rid of that, and then they expanded the UEFA Cup before it became the Europa League. And then the Champions League has done a huge number on the FA Cup, because now you see with the Antelope Cup, you know, they teams like Arsenal put out reserve teams. You've got, and then in the FA Cup, you know, try and find me a team tomorrow in the third round that is going to put out a full strength lineup. And you won't find it. And that right there is testimony to the lack of seriousness. And it's going to include Fulham as well. I hate to say it, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Growing up, I mean, any fan out there, if you want a synopsis of what it used to be like, go onto YouTube and type in Newcastle against Hereford 1971. Just watch. You know, top division time, Newcastle, there, some great players, John Tudor, Malcolm, our old gaffer, Malcolm McDonald, against lowly Hereford United. It was in Hereford, and it was a game for the ages in terms of the way it worked out. It was such a, and that was what the FA Cup used to be about, where if a non-league or a lower league team played an upper division team, it was a sellout. The lower league team would always play their strongest lineup. It was so romantic when teams got knocked off. It was great, and it's not like that. And I still, that game still puts, you know, it puts my hairs on end because it was such a great game. And there are many, many games like that. The Hereford Newcastle is the one that stands out. And I wish we'd got back to that. But Champions League, Europa League, the money with TV contracts, the wages that they're on, managers can't afford to use their best players in a competition like this if it means they're going to lose them for bigger competitions. And that's the sad part about the FA Cup. And I wish it wasn't like that. But money talks. And Slava tweeted just interestingly 40 minutes ago, and he talked about excited about the FA Cup and boom boom boom. And I think it's brilliant. And
I agree.
But we all know that he's not going to put out. I certainly won't have a go at him for this because he's going to do what every single team, except maybe one of the League Two teams, will go bollocks. We can turn over the big guns and have some fun. Everybody's going to be playing reduced lineups tonight. Liverpool are playing Everton. I mean, take a look at that, for example. Man United are playing Derby. Take a look at the lineups that all four managers put out tonight. Yeah. Even Derby County will not put out their strongest lineup at Old Trafford just because they'll be focusing on the league.
It's unfortunate, Giannis, and I'm glad that you really went into detail of the reasons why the FA Cup is not what it was when you were growing up. And it really is. It's too bad. And a good part of it is everything that you explained. So thank you very much for going into detail. But there is a little sadness that goes along with that. And I agree with you. I don't think many teams are going to be playing their best 11, and that's too bad because I would like to see teams at full strength, but there's a reason for it, and everyone does it. So that's the unfortunate part of all this. All right, guys, let's get into this. I'm going to start to share some information with you on Southampton. That will start our preview. I get this information from whoscored.com. They also have a prediction, which I'll be sharing in just a second. Here are some characteristics from Southampton ahead of this match. They list one strength on whoscored.com: stealing the ball from the opposition. Weaknesses: finishing scoring chances, stopping opponents from creating chances, defending against attacks down the wings, aerial duels, avoiding individual errors. Very weak at defending against long shots. Style of play: attacking down the left, rotate their first 11, and they are non-aggressive. Okay, and now I'm going to go back and I'm going to share with you guys just a little bit more information here. I'm going to give you a prediction from whoscored.com. This is what they have to say about the match. Fulham have finally hit their stride, which spells bad news for a struggling Southampton side. The Cottagers have a real chance to cause a cup upset on Saturday, but may lose that chance if they completely rotate their normal 11. Southampton are winless in 9 matches and haven't won away from home since September. The pressure would really be on Mauricio Pellegrino if Southampton are knocked out of the FA Cup third round to Championship side Fulham. Their prediction, 2-1 to Fulham. Okay, Giannis, I'm going to start with you. Thoughts on Southampton ahead of this match?
Southampton are having a rough time right now, and I'm trying to figure out. They've had some tight. I mean, Tottenham thumped them last week 5-2. They're closely.
I watched that, by the way.
Yeah, it was an oddie. They just looked out of sorts. Against Palace, they looked good first half, and then Roy worked his halftime magic, and that was the end of that. They've got some very good players, but the problem is going to be what sort of lineup is he going to put out? In the press conference yesterday, Pellegrino talked about, I will try to choose my best 11. Well, we're not idiots. I will try to choose my best 11. Means I'm going to make wholesale changes, and I'm going to keep players like Bertrand and Romero and Ward-Prowse and Tadic and Shane Long, who scored his first goal in about 7,000 years against Palace. They're not going to play, and I'm going to play some of my my lesser known players, we're going to see what we can get up there, and we're going to take it. It's disappointing though. I'm just thinking, going back about the FA Cup tradition.
Yep.
Southampton will bring a fair amount of support tomorrow. And if we were down at St Mary's, we'd take a fair amount of support down. I feel bad for fans because really, if you're travelling up and down the neck and breadth of the country to support your team in the FA Cup, isn't it owed to you in a sense, really, that you should at least put up a decent lineup that makes you at least sort of competitive without taking the piss? You know, it's always the fans that get screwed, whether it's train costs, coach costs, costs of, you know, horrible, nasty tea and coffee and hot dogs that taste like they just come out of the cow. You know, it's always the fans that get stiffed. So when I see that comment about we will try, you know, don't take the piss. But they're struggling, and they should be a better side, and they should be higher up in the table than they are, but they're not. And this is going to be a point of concern. And they're 17th right now, so they're only out of the
goal differential, right?
Yeah, just above our friend, the hapless wonder Bellend Hughes, on goal difference. So, but interestingly enough, the way the division's looking right now, they're 3 points off 12th place. So it's very, very tight there. It'll be of secondary importance, I think, to the gaffer there. So it's going to depend on who we put out tomorrow.
Both teams there, Giannis. It goes back to what you said earlier. What teams are going to be out there? And then you can really assess your chances, I guess. We're going to have to see the team that Fulham put out and also the team that Southampton put out. Max, I want to go to you. I want to get your thoughts on Southampton before I get your thoughts. I just want to mention I watched a very interesting video that I would recommend Fulham supporters go to if you want to hear some thoughts about Southampton. Go to the YouTube channel, The Ugly Inside. They actually had about a five-minute video. It's good. Like I mentioned, I enjoyed it. Actually, one of their hosts predicted a 3-0 victory for Southampton. I don't see that, but it's the Southampton YouTube channel from fans of Southampton, so I understand why they're predicting it, but I don't think that they've watched too much of Fulham, but we'll see. I don't see that as being the scoreline. I don't see Fulham losing 3-0, but we'll see. Max, your thoughts on Southampton?
Yeah, Southampton are really an interesting case in kind of what happens to a Premier League team when they're right on the edge of achieving, breaking into that kind of top 6-7. And when they kind of grow tired of being in that mold and they're trying to change it up. I think they're in the Europa League last season after a really good – they've been that team of always threatening against the top sides, always really bright, 8th, 7th, 9th, those kind of positions. A bit like Fulham just 5 or 10 years ago. Yeah. And then they finished 8th last season with Claude Puel, and they decided, which is an inexplicable decision, I think many are realizing now, that that really wasn't good enough. So they sacked Claude Puel, and they brought in Mauricio Pellegrino. And they've just immensely struggled this season. As you guys mentioned, they're 17th. And as you guys also mentioned, they have a really quality side. looking at the bench against the Palace match, which I think tells you a lot about who they might play against Fulham, you see Stephen Davis, formerly of Fulham, very quality Northern Irish international. Mario Lemina, formerly of Juventus. Gabby Dini, formerly of Napoli. Nathan Redmond, one of the brightest attacking talents, I think. It doesn't always perform to his potential, but definitely very bright. And also Fraser Forster, also formerly in the England setup. So this is a very quality side. I think the one issue is this has not been consistent. They've been very disjointed this season. And I think this is another great opportunity for Fulham to knock off Premier League opposition at home. Last season it was Hull City that we thumped 4-1 when they were in the throes of a relegation dogfight. And I really don't see why Fulham can't do it again against Southampton. They're not going to want to play, as Giannis mentioned, they're not going to want to play a full-strength side. It's obvious the FA Cup isn't the priority because they just want to stay in the Premier League after the first half of the season they've had. So I think they're not going to be up for it. I think for us, this is going to be a massive match for us. And I think we're going to be a lot more motivated than they will be. I think that will prove really interesting, I think.
Okay, interesting, Max. And I'm going to go back to that video. I just want to mention one more thing about it because one of the hosts was talking about their defensive lapses. And when you look at a team like this that Fulham are playing, it's a team that Fulham can take advantage of. A team that has those types of issues, I think Fulham can really pounce on. So I think this is an interesting situation. And again, it's going to go back to who are they going to play? They do have a lot of talent. I'm glad that you mentioned some of those players. I was thinking right off the bat, we're probably going to see Nathan Redmond. We know Nathan Redmond's a player. So he could be someone to watch in this match. But again, I don't know what Pellegrino's going to do. But it'll be interesting because I think that will tell us a little bit about who potentially can win this match. Same thing with Slavisa. What's he going to do? I think he's going to take it fairly serious based on what you just said, Giannis. You know, he's excited for it. I think he's going to set up Fulham nicely, but I don't think it's going to be a full strength squad. I would be surprised. I'd be happy with it, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. That's why it's tough to really gauge what's going to happen here, because we don't know what each manager is ultimately going to do with their starting 11. But we're going to try to talk about it, so let's get a little bit further into it. Giannis, let's talk about key players for Fulham. This is difficult because we don't know exactly who Savisa is going to pick for his starting 11, but if you had to guess, who would be your key players here?
I'd like Jordan Sales to play.
I think Billy the Badger should get his boots shined up, because he might get a bloody game. Well, again, I don't know. I mean, if you stop from top to bottom, you know, I think Betts should play, but I could understand if Button plays.
Yeah.
If you look at the defenders, well, I said to you, Michael Maddle's gone missing, but you know, maybe he gets a game. I think Marcelo Giallo should certainly get a game.
I was going to say, do you think we're going to see Giallo in this game?
I do. Whether I do or whether Slava will pick them is another matter. But I would like to see Maddle, Suarez, and Giallo play in this. And by the same token, I think that, you know, has anybody seen Jordan Graham? I don't think he's been given a fair shake. I'd certainly like to see him get a game. I'd like to see maybe Molo come in. What about Ibrahim Cisse? You got players like Luca Di Natale and Theo Eden in there as well. And then up front, well, I think Piazon will start. I think it's important that he does get playing time, getting back to fitness. Rui Font, I would be surprised if he doesn't get a start tomorrow. I mean, Aiti could get a start, but he'll go off injured after 4 seconds. So he's out of the picture. The players I described there are squad players, and really, you know, what do they all have in common? I mean, Piazon's going to be fighting back to first team fitness, but they're all going to be hungry because they've not been playing a lot.
That's right.
So they're going to want to come out and play and put in a performance. And in the, you know, in the Dead Beaver Cup earlier this year, we played over some of the kids, and they played pretty well, Eden and Latour. Yep. So this is a good
absolutely.
Option. Huh?
No, I was going to say, Giannis, I'm glad that you brought up Eden and De La Torre, because I think this is a perfect opportunity for them to showcase what they can do.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I agree. I think this is, you know, 20 years ago, I'd have shuddered and crawled into a hole if you told me we'd put a lineup like this for the FA Cup, but it is unfortunately what it is. And so why not, you know, rest, you know, most, if not all of your starters, maybe with the exception of Betts, and play the players that don't normally play, and they'll be hungry to prove a point. And let's be honest, some of these players we're going to need, even with 20 league games to go, because we're going to have suspensions, we're going to have injuries. So this is the perfect opportunity for Slava to showcase. And it also, you know, because it's a transfer deadline window, it also gives the players an opportunity to showcase what they potentially can do in terms of a loan movement out. So it can actually work in our favour too, and it can work in the players' favour. So in a way, yeah, we want to get through. But from the player standpoint, put in a good performance, somebody sees that, maybe they take him as an extra player. It's not necessarily that a bad situation, but that sort of mindset and that approach, I think, is probably what we're going to see from Southampton as well. So it is what it is, right?
Okay. Well, Giannis, you actually did a nice job of transitioning us to talk about the starting 11. But what I want to do with you is do it a little bit differently. You're going to like this. I'm going to put you in the mind of Slavisa Jokanović, because, again, we don't know exactly what he's going to do. I want you to try to predict what he's going to do in this match. You've talked about all these players. What do you think he's going to do with this starting 11? Let's go through it, and then I'll get Max, put him in the mind of Slavisa Jokanović.
Okay, so let's go through this. I'm going to say Betts is going to start in net.
Okay.
I'm going to say Suarez starts at right back. Giallo and Maddle in the middle. And I think you may see Odoi at left back. He might be the only starter that survives the cull, the FA Cup cull. Midfield, I think they're going to go 4-4-2. So it might be Molo on the right, Piaz on the left, Ibrahim Asise and Teo Edin in the middle. And then up front, probably Font and Piazon, if Billy the Badger doesn't get a start. But that's still a competitive lineup. I mean, that's not a noncy lineup. It's a decent lineup. The one player I think has got a lot to prove tomorrow. I mean, I didn't mention Jordan Graham. He could be comfortable if he starts on the right.
Okay.
But it's Rui Font. This is a big game for Font for me because he hasn't played any minutes for two games. And, you know, AK-47 has come out of his little shell and he's been blasting bullets wherever he goes, which means now that Font knows he's sort of on the outside looking in. And, of course, with all the rumours surrounding transfers at the deadline, he's going to want to prove a point. So I think this is going to be a big game. And I'm really hoping he has a breakout. It'd be great if he scores a goal tomorrow. I happen to like Font. I might be in the minority, but I happened to like Camara as well. Okay. And I think it takes time. And I think Font's a good player. So I hope I assume he's going to start tomorrow. And I hope he can score.
Okay. Excellent. There, yeah. So, right. Over to you, Max. I'm going to put you in the mind of Slavisa Jokanović. What do you think he's going to do tomorrow?
So I'm looking at the Bristol Rovers Carabao Cup or Dead Beaver Cup, as Giannis. That's a good name.
I like that.
The Reindeer Energy Drink Cup as a blueprint for what I think Slavisa might do. So I agree with the center defensive partnership of Model and Jala. I think Steven Sessegnon is going to play on the right. Ooh. And I think we're going to have Suarez on the left. I think it's going to be three in the field and three up top, so 4-3-3. I think it'll be O'Reilly, Ibrahim Asise, and Piazon in the midfield three. I think the attacking three will be Font in the middle and Molo and Graham. And it's really a who's who of summer signings and really youth players, rejects, but at the same time, although it's by far from our best lineup, I think it's a dangerous lineup in many ways that will be really fascinating to see how if they do play, how they fit together. I mean, everyone's been dying to see Molo and Graham, and I massively agree with Giannis with regards to Font. I mean, the guy we signed for £9 million hasn't played at all the last two matches. He's suddenly not first choice, now he's in second choice maybe. He's not getting any substitute appearances. His confidence must be shot. And an FA Cup match against Southampton, a Premier League opposition, isn't exactly the best place to repair that. But I really hope he'll thrive and rise to the occasion because he needs a goal more than anyone else in the Fulham squad.
Okay, excellent there, Max. All right, let's end with our predictions. I'm going to go to you first, Max. What's your prediction for this match?
I can't see us beating Southampton. At the same time, I don't really think we're going to lose. I'm going to call it a 1-1 draw. I think we'll score an early goal, they'll equalize, but it'll be a fair result in the end, I think. So they will truly be up to it, and we'll play pretty decently. So I think it's going to head to a replay at St. Mary's.
Okay. Giannis, over to you.
I've got to agree with Max. I think it's going to be 1-1, actually. I think it'll be a good game. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It's been a seismic last 24 hours, Russ. It's been... Social media wise, you know, reaction to the presser yesterday with Slava, silence from the ownership, which often can be deafening. But some interesting times, and we've got, you know, we've coming off a very good run, 10 points out of 12, and we've played well. And I think this is going to be a good game. I don't think we've got anything to lose, really. It'll be. There should be a good amount of support from Saints. Usually are pretty good in terms of travelling support. They'll bring a little legion of fans up. The 1-1, I think, will be fine. And, by the way, you mentioned Muhlenstein earlier. I just thought...
Yes.
A little bit of a useless trivia. But René Meulensteen was actually fired earlier this week.
I saw that.
In the IPL, yeah, at Kerala, at the Kerala Masters. And I don't know how the hell they're running their league down there, but you know it's a joke when his replacement is none other than David James. I mean, it might as well be Jesse James, to be honest. And another Fulham link, of course, we have to mention, is our dear friend Dimitar Berbatov is down there.
That's right.
They've had a really tough start of the season, but Meulensteen was saying that basically the club is not well run. They brought in players like Michael Chopra. I think Wes Brown is playing down there as well.
Yep.
You know, a bunch of the old stiffs, you know, moving their arthritic knees around, getting good money in front of very big crowds, I might add. So whatever happens, whatever news there is around the world, Russ, it can always be linked back to Craven Cottage.
Absolutely, Giannis. You always find a way. I like that. You always find a way to do that. That's great, my friend. All right, I am going to go with a draw as well, but I'm going to go 2-2. I want a little bit more scoring, so I'm going to say 2-2.
Like
and I'm looking forward to this. I want to mention this because it's been wonderful. Max, you can attest to this, that we can watch the league matches on Fulham FC TV. But some of the other tournaments, like the Caribou Cup, or what you called it, Giannis, it's been harder to be able to, say, watch those matches. Well, the FA Cup is actually on Fox Sports, and it's going to be on Fox Sports 2. And I'm happy to say, at least for me, my cable company, Xfinity, just added Fox Sports 2 for the first time. I just noticed it, so I will be able to watch the match, thankfully. So, yes, the end of the show is about me being able to watch the match. Thank you.
Well, I'm Xfinity, too. Is that true, Russ? I hope you're not pulling my leg.
It is true.
I haven't had that for
it
ages.
Is true.
Okay, wow. You know, some
absolutely,
specials,
Max.
All Fox Sports,
you know,
package. That I should know that.
I'm just telling you, I happened to just check Xfinity today. Check yourself, Max, to see if it's been added. But it's been added here because I've been waiting for them to add Fox Sports 2. It's now added. And, yes, I will be able to watch the full match. I'm also, just as we finish up this, we'll be editing the show and be watching in the background Manchester United play Derby County because that's on Fox Sports 2. So I'm just glad that I can watch the match tomorrow. That's basically the way I'm ending the show, guys. I'm sorry about that. I had to say something for me. All right. All right. Great show by both of you, but it is time to go. For Max Cohen and Yash Inez, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.